This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you in part by Harry's. For guys like you who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code MORNINGSTREAM when you check out. That's HARRYS.com. Coming up on TMS, we have a great story about a poo bag lady.
Stone Cold Steve Austin is in trouble for liking them gays.
Man photoshops himself into girls' photos.
Paul Simon got in a fight with Edie Brickell, but not the New Bohemians.
Good, they didn't do anything.
No, that would have been too much for him.
The Star Wars cast was announced and shown.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hello, watermelon students. Today I'll be doing a tutorial on the correct way to eat a watermelon. As you can see right here, we have one serving of watermelon. One serving is one half of a watermelon. In this case, it's a seedless watermelon, and I probably would prefer the seed type melon, but this one looks pretty good.
I admire your bravery, but you're fools.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. With power and performance that gives you safer control in your driving style.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is The Morning Stream. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
I prefer the seed
you like
variety
seed?
Myself.
Seed variety. You should watch this video. Did I send you that video?
You did send me the video.
Oh, it's awesome.
it is ripe with great soundboard content.
Yeah, I like that you used the word ripe. That's pretty good. It's a nice little nice connection to watermelon.
Intended.
Listen to
this. There's all sorts of flavors you can get.
He says other things like this.
Peanut butter. Peanut butter. Peanut butter goes very well with watermelon.
What?
Really?
That's what he said. And then he made some. He mixed it up in there and made some peanut butter watermelon kind of goo in the middle. So his whole concept was, this old guy on Twitter, and he's an interesting dude. He does a lot of other things, which I'll get to in a minute. Like he puts original music up there and plays on a guitar and kind of has a country twang to everything he does. But he made these four holes in the watermelon. The technique is you make these four holes.
I'm sure he did.
Yes. And they all interconnect inside. So the tunnels all lead to one another.
Uh-huh.
He says this is the proper way to do it. Then, with those four interconnected tunnel holes in the watermelon, you put a marshmallow in each hole. A big one, like the kind you roast over a fire. Okay?
Okay. You put, this is, are you sure we can talk about this?
Yes, I'm positive. Okay. Right, I had to see it through to the end to make sure, but yes. So he puts these things in. This guy's probably in his 80s or something.
Yeah.
Puts in these things, and then he's like, now you'll notice that the marshmallow take on a pink hue, and it's melted in with the juices of the watermelon. And then he eats those and just talks about how amazing they are. And every time he takes a bite, he makes this sound. He goes, mm-mm-mm. Like that. Three mms. Mm-mm-mm. Every time. Okay?
So, basically, he's eating marshmallows saturated with watermelon juice.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. Right. It sounds horrible. Then he says this.
Many people think you're supposed to put salt on a watermelon. Of course, that's not true.
Of course not. That's not true.
No, of course that's not true.
Yeah, a lot of people tell you that, but that's not
true. They think you're supposed to. Like, it's a law. Like, the watermelon police are going to bang down your door. Sir, you did not put any salt on this watermelon.
Yeah, there's another.
I know people who have salt on their watermelon, and I think they think it's just fine.
Yeah, there's another clip, but I'm not playing it till the next commercial break. So wait for that, all right? Because it's a good one. 33 seconds of rad.
Oh, awesome. Oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's really good. Anyway, hey, everybody, welcome back. He's the third eagle of watermelons. That's how we're going to refer to that guy.
The third watermelon of the apocalypse.
I would listen to anything he ever said. Oh, he did. Here's some of his music. So he's got a song called I Want More Porn. All right, so.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Yeah, it's freaked me out, too. Here it is.
I want more porn and pop-up windows.
It's just a parody, like.
I see. He's like, you know.
All the crap he gets
on his
computer.
He's being ironic about the things he wants more of on his internet.
Well, Brian, he's had a few viruses. His age group gets those. And
also on his computer.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's kind of a hoot, and more power to him, I guess. He's got something like 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. It seems to be doing just fine. Just fine. Wow. That video, the watermelon video alone, is like 2.5 million views or some crazy number. So
I'm sure that's something that people have been sharing and passing around. And
well, you never know when you're going to hit viral pay dirt.
Yeah.
As the kids say, you know, I put up 1,000 videos before I ever get that kind of viewership. Mm-hmm. So good on old man McGillicuddy there and his salty watermelon. All right. Hey, look at us. Look at us doing a show. Here we are. Sorry about yesterday, everybody. And just to confirm, we did not have a show yesterday. So those still asking where it is, you now have confirmation there wasn't one. We had a bit of a client mess I had to deal with and ended up having to cancel as a result. But
and you got to love all the pod fading jokes that people make.
Oh, they're the best. They're the best. Yeah. R.I.P. Scott Johnson. We loved your work. Pod fade. Hashtag. Yeah. One show out of a billion we miss. Yeah. But anyway, we're back. and that's all good because sometimes it's the absence that makes the heart grow fonder.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I can confirm that that's sometimes true.
You know, and it's not like there's anything that really happened that we'd ever want to talk about yesterday. I mean, nothing happened in the world of basketball.
No.
Nothing happened in
in the world of Star Wars. in the world of Bob Hoskins. Oh.
That's right.
He passed away.
Yeah. Oh, God knows the jury probably didn't have anything to say.
No.
So.
Well, he was in Mexico, so he couldn't say much.
Oh, he wasn't going to be. Oh, right. He's on his thing.
Yeah,
he's
couldn't. He wasn't even going to be there. So he sent me a text the night before saying, yeah, the internet here sucks. I was going to try that. There's no way this is going to work. Oh, I said, okay. Right.
He's on his walkabout.
He told me
walkabout.
He basically said to me, he goes, yeah, it's like his little connect with nature retreat bullcrap he was not looking forward to.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, I've already had 2 yoga sessions. And some other, I don't know what all. And he goes, you know what? Yoga's all right till everyone starts talking mumbo jumbo. And I said, what do you mean? He says, yeah, where it's all like space zen. Age, zen,
yes.
stuff. He doesn't like any of that. It's not for him. But I bet he blends in just right down there because we don't know his origin of race. We don't know where Jerry's from. He could be Mexican as far as we know. He could be Indian. He could be an Eskimo. We don't know. We don't know what Jerry is.
Right.
So while
right.
he's down there, people are like, hey, you're one of us. One of us. Until he says something dirty. All right. Hey, look at this here. So yesterday, Kim and I are walking the dog. Man, walking dogs, that's my best. That's some of my best material. That's where I find some of my favorite stories.
It is.
World.
Yeah. Like, you know, the stuff on the tree, the messages or whatever it was.
Whatever that was. I still don't know what that was.
Yeah.
That was the old neighborhood, so I can never go back and check. But
right. People who don't wave back or people who flip you off.
Yeah, or yell fart gas. I guess that was the car. But right. So you never know what you're going to get when I go walking the dog. And so we're out with Daisy. Kim says, hey, I'll come with you. I said, great. It's been a little chilly. We had some weird cold front come in that's now clearing out. We should be in the 70s this weekend, but leading up to it, it's just a little bit chilly. So we're out. We're kind of bundled up. And we're walking around this part of the park, and then suddenly a Honda zooms right up to where we're at and stops.
Okay.
Window comes down. And inside are 2 lovely, seemingly very nice Hispanic ladies. One's driving, and the other one appears in the driver's seat to be, or the passenger seat appears to be her mother. I can only guess because she's, I don't know, double her age. Mm-hmm. And just looked, you know, older, and she had really thick makeup on and just looked like somebody who's older than the other one. And the other one was doing all the talking. And the way they pulled up to us, we are speaking to the driver through the passenger door. All right. Now, here's the problem. Right before they pulled up, Daisy just gave birth to what I would only like to call a turd with the consistency of lasagna on the grass. Okay. So I have just
lasagna. All right.
Yeah, I had just taken the bag, hand in bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wearing gloves because it's cold, so it's a little unwieldy and a little awkward. But I have reached down, I have grabbed it, pulled the bag inside out. I now have in my left hand, right hand I have the leash, left hand I have the bag of poo. Okay, and I got my phone in my pocket. Lady pulls up and she says, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Do you know where such and such street is?" And Kim goes, oh, we're so new here. We're not sure where that would be. Do you have an idea kind of which direction? We're trying to help her. And she says, my GPS has broken. My GPS has broken, she says. And so I'm looking in there. She's got some big, fat, phablet-looking Android phone thing. It's, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But it wasn't working. And she says, it wants to take me home. It wants to take me home. Not tomorrow. I don't want to go. And I said, oh, well, we can probably help you. I got my phone right here. So I kind of shift things around a little bit and put the leash under my left arm, the handle part of it, under my left arm, and I'm holding that, and the dog's just standing there. and I got the poo bag in the left hand still. Now remember where we're oriented.
Right.
We're at the driver or the passenger side of a car in America. Okay, that means right side of the car if you're facing out of the car, right? So this is important. Right. This is important.
Okay.
So and we're having to lean down and like talk to the lady through the window because I'm talking over grandma, past grandma to the lady in the driver's seat. I just want to really clearly illustrate this because it's really important how this goes. So she says, "Can you help me?" And I said, "Yes." So I pull out my phone and I say, "What's the address?" She tells me the number. I plunk it into Google Maps. Google Street View, whatever it is. Google Maps, I guess. Anyway, it finds it. And I say, "Oh, okay, here's all you got to do." And I reach into the car to show her the phone.
Uh-huh.
Kind of past the old lady, kind of closer to her so she could see it.
Right, past the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Into the driver.
Yes, so the driver's looking at it on my iPhone. What I've not realized I've done is I have put my left hand and arm, my forearm on the edge of the car to brace myself.
Yeah.
As I'm leaning down and doing it, I'm not paying any attention to this at all. The bag of poo that is in my left hand is now resting gently on the face of the old lady in the car. She's just laying there taking it. And she's not saying anything. She's not moving. She didn't do anything, but I catch her out of the corner of my left eye. I just notice, oh my gosh, the lasagna poo is literally laying on her cheek. So I show her the thing, and I don't want to overreact, Brian. I don't want to like yank out of there.
Draw attention to it. Oh my God, I put poop on your
yeah,
face.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry, Laquita, or whatever you are, you, immigrant to our fine country and fine woman. I'm sure you are. I've left a bag of poo on your face. So I just kind of leave it there, and I say, "Do you see this?" And she comes over to my, and the other lady leans over and goes, "Okay, let me see." And she starts zooming in with her fingers and twisting the map around. She's going, "Okay, so north and west and this," and she's talking. And meanwhile, poo bag is still on Laquita's face.
Oh, God.
That's her name for now. I don't know her name.
Laquita. Okay.
And she never made a peep, never said a word, never said a sound, but I held this bag of poo to her face for probably a good 30 to 45 seconds of poo face. And when I got done,
probably warm at least.
Yeah, no, it totally was. That's the thing. It was fresh off the street. I mean, we had just done it, and it was like I said, a little chilly. Had the bag been open, there would have been steam. You know, that's the kind of poop it was.
Right.
This poor lady. And then they're done, and they're go, "Okay, we'll give it our best." And she starts to take off, and I go, "Kim." She goes, "I know. I saw." He goes, "That's terrible." I said, "I know, but I can talk about it on the show, so I feel better about it." Anyway, that happened yesterday, and that was great.
Oh, my God.
Good times had by all. I couldn't wait to share that with everybody.
Those two have left the state.
Indeed.
Never to return.
Yeah, they're out. I don't know, you know, I don't know what I would have done. If I had to do it over again, what would I have done? I think I was just so absent-minded. And when you're wearing gloves, things in your hands are less tangible.
Right.
So it didn't feel like I was holding anything.
But you could have set the bag down.
Oh, I totally could have. I mean, there's a million choices I could have made.
I was going to say, if you were going to do it again, there's one option.
Well, if I could do it again with the knowledge of what I was going to do.
Yes.
Yes, I would have had some options.
As you're just saying, as far as like the aftermath.
Yeah. Or give me 100 split universes where I'm attempting to have the same conversation. I don't know which one of those I decide that's a bad idea to have a bag of poo in my hand. Like, it never even occurred to me until it is laying on the side of her freaking face. And if I was her, I would have moved. I would have leaned a little bit.
Like, said, "Hey!"
Hey!
But see, here's the amazing thing. You know what you've done now? You've almost shifted the paradigm, right?
Uh-oh.
You've, instead of everybody else giving you the story, you've now given her a story that she's now going to tell.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
To other people.
But do you think she knows, though? Do you think she knew it was a bag of poo? She had to have known.
Had to have known. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like a porous bag. It's not like she could smell it or anything.
No, but...
But she had to know. I'm not with a dog. I got a pink bag in my... It's a big, bright pink bag. That's the other thing. It's not like a... It didn't say Walmart on it or something. It was like a pink bag designed strictly for poo bagging.
Right.
And it was on her face.
Like specifically. So now, you know, instead of, because the other people you run into, the people who are walking their dog and flip you off, mm-hmm. they don't have a story that they're going to tell their friends. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, I was walking the dog and I saw this guy. He waved at me and I flipped him off.
Right.
You know, or the person who drove through a stop sign or someone was the deal with like you were at the intersection and they they stopped or something like that. Anyway, Whatever, but now you've given them, I hate to keep perpetuating the name, Lakita. Yeah. You've given Lakita a story now that she can tell everybody.
So yeah, he asked for directions and this guy just rested a bag of poo on my face.
I mean, maybe she's seen worse. Maybe she spent, you know, months in Juarez or something. You know, maybe the, anything after her hard life coming up is just walking the park, you know?
Sure.
Ah, nice man giving us directions, laid a bag of poo in my face. I've had worse, is what she's saying. Well, anyway, I hope people enjoy these stupid stories. And may Lakita, may she never have another bag of poo on her face again. Bob Hoskins died. I just wanted to mention that we're sad about that. He was always this actor that you were happy to see do something.
Totally, yeah. You know? I mean, probably everybody knows him best from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Probably.
It's Eddie. Yeah. Nice guy Eddie. Is that his name?
Eddie.
Yeah, nice guy Eddie. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
He was, and he always played, he played like a film noir kind of American dude, but he was as British as you get. He was also Super Mario in the Super Mario movie.
Oh, I forgot. That's right.
Shmee.
I'm looking at his listing here. I forgot about Brazil.
Hold on here. Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. 72 years old. Let's see. Enemy at the Gates. Hold on. I'm trying to look at a recent one. Oh, he was in that Snow White and the Huntsman recently. That's what I saw him in. Okay. And he was good. He's good in everything he's in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel bad when a guy like that dies. He had recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's and had retired from acting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he died of complications due to pneumonia. So just kind of a hospital visit gone wrong.
Wow.
Anyway, he's a cool dude. He was in The Lost World. I don't remember that. Who was he in there? Well, anyway. Oh, he was in Spice World. Hey, Brian.
He was in Spice World, yes, as Bob Hoskins.
Hey.
Playing himself.
All right. That's pretty cool.
There were so many great cameos in that movie. Have we talked about doing that for Film Sec?
We have, and we should. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we?
I'll dig out my Blu-ray special edition collector's director cut. Yeah. No, I don't have that.
Yeah, what is wrong with us that we wouldn't do that?
I do just have it on DVD. But
I want to show you how short he is. This is something you don't think of. Here you go.
How short Bob Hoskins is?
Yeah, just look at this right there in your chat. He's a short man. I'll put it here in the chat too.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Little guy. Little teeny man.
He is.
Anyway.
He always looked like such a friendly guy.
Oh, he did, right? And his Cockney accent was just adorable. And yeah, yes. What's not to like? Yeah. There are a few movies where he plays a very menacing kind of underground London kind of gangster man. Mm-hmm. And those are just as memorable. He's just he was a fantastic actor and he'll be missed. And you never heard anything bad about that guy. You never heard some story that...
No scandals.
In the news today, Bob Hoskins beat up his wife with a stick. More at 11. They don't do that with him. He was a nice guy. Had a nice wife. Had some nice kids. There you have it.
Totally.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Daryl time. Should we do Daryl?
Oh, yeah. Let's do Daryl time.
Okay. Great. Hold on. There we go. All right. Here we go. Boy, I'm a little rusty after not being here a whole day.
Forget how to do these things?
Yeah. Poo bag to the face and I forget everything. All right. Here we go. Put that right there, right there. I think poo bag to the face might be today's title. What do you think about that?
Perfect. Poo bag to the face.
That seems about right. Finish him. It's Stump Drag Nerd brought to you by
The Daily Tech News Show, starring Tom Merritt at dailytechnewsshow.com. Hop on over there today and see how tech coverage should be.
Ooh. Yesterday's episode featured one Scott Johnson, and I tried not to mess up the joint.
Good. And how did you do?
I think I did all right.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was okay. I mean, you know. I have things to say. They're not always super smart. I am not a smart man, Jenny, but I know what love is. Sorry. Daryl, what's going on, man?
Hello.
How's it going? Oh, you're jolly today. Listen to that. I can hear it in your voice.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a reason. I for no reason, I decided to, well, you know, Joey Image, the TM, the our resident wrestler.
Yeah, our pro wrestler guy. Yeah, the TMS pro wrestler. Uh-huh.
I decided, well, I've never seen anything he's ever done. Yeah. So just this morning, just a few seconds ago, I finished watching a video of him doing his thing in the ring, and it was fun.
Yeah, no, those guys are awesome. He's currently recovering from back surgery, spinal something-something surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's the technical term for it. He seems to be doing okay. He's in good spirits. Talked to him a little bit yesterday. Over Twitter, and seemed to be all right.
Yeah.
We hope for the best. Hoping
good.
Is he going to get back in the ring? Do we know? We don't know.
It sounds like it. It sounds like he'll be able to do that again.
All right. Well, there's a story about Stone Cold Steve Austin later.
Mm-hmm.
We'll dedicate
get
that
your wrestling fix here.
Joey, we'll give that to you, buddy. All right. Well, Daryl, it's good to have you back. You're a Hoskins fan. Did you like Bob Hoskins as an actor?
Oh yeah.
Hard not to
especially,
like him.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Roger Rabbit.
Did you ever have? Yeah. Has he ever been in Trek? Seems like he should have been in Trek at some point. Machine. You should find that out.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't.
I'm having some weird memory of it.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like he was in some short, small...
You'd think one of the Gangster Planet ones would...
Yeah, that would fit.
Right, holodeck gangster episode.
Oh, I forgot to play... I was going to play Daryl's actual theme today. Crap. Here it is. It's better late than never. Here you go.
1930.
It kind of just goes on like that, by the way.
Is that the new remix? The new Pharrell Williams remix?
Yep. It's pretty good.
Nice. No Trek ever for Bob Hoskins. I just did a search on his IMDb profile.
Damn it.
Nothing. I'm surprised.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, he was in Pink Floyd The Wall, though.
Oh. Okay.
The Bob Geldof one, you know.
Yeah. Is there another one? Have they done more of those?
No. I'm just saying that.
Got it. Okay. Do you hear about Bob Geldof's daughter died? You hear about that?
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah. She's too young for that. Don't die. All right. Daryl, it's great to have you back. It's not 1930, but it is 2014, and that means your chance to win nothing by answering a hard trivia question about Star Trek. Here is an original series episode question about the trouble with Tribbles, and here's how it goes. Captain Kirk asks Chekhov how close they'll be to the closest Klingon outpost if they maintain their current course. How does Chekhov say they'll be, or how close does he say they'll be? Is it A, 1 parsec, B, 2 parsecs, 3, or C, 3 parsecs, D, 4 parsecs? 1, 2, 3, or 4 parsecs.
Ooh.
And you're not jumping out with an answer right away, so that makes me feel glad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While you,
this is one of those episodes I used to have totally memorized. Too.
Really? All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how you roll.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We're going to eat more of this Finnish business. I don't have a preference here, but they're basically, well... We got a few things. Do you guys want to do the Little Mai or the red and white striped marine or the Angry Birds assorted sweets?
Well, let's see. I have the red and white striped business. I have the Angry Birds business. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the Little Mai. Mm-hmm. I noticed you're skipping over the Kick.
Oh, I missed the Kick. Where'd the Kick go?
Which is soft licorice toffee.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, well, I meant to skip that. I didn't even know it, and I meant it. Or there's a sucker, too, I guess. A Moomin.
Moomin.
Moomin. I don't like the way that girl's looking on the Moomin. Look at her staring at the
phaser.
Oh, mine
is it's a hippopotamus on mine, a dancing hippo.
Mine's got a kangaroo.
Mine's a girl looking, like, I don't know, looking mad at the logo, the phaser logo.
Wow.
Yeah. That's weird. Brian, you pick. What do you want?
Let's do... You know, these Angry Birds are not going to get any...
they're not going to eat themselves. Yeah.
Exactly, not going to eat themselves. Let's Angry Bird it up.
All right, fine.
As much as I'd like to torture you with the licorice toffee.
Oh, you'll still have your chance.
We'll still have to eat it, yes.
Oh, are there pigs in this? No, these are just other... Oh, these are not good representations of the birds. These are really bad. These are like modern-day animal crackers where they don't really look like the animals anymore. Or they're indistinguishable from one another. Can you even tell me where the bird is?
Well, it's like they've been in a rock tumbler.
Yeah.
And any recognizable attributes are disappeared.
The yellow one that looks like Bert from Bert and Ernie, I kind of can see it.
Yeah. So flavor-wise, and I tore the part of the bag off that tells you flavor, but The red bird is strawberry.
Yeah.
The egg-shaped bird is pineapple and coconut. The actual egg is caramel.
All right.
The triangular bird is lime. And if you've got a little dinky tiny bird in there, it's orange.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would be the one that's orange colored.
Oh, they're not dinky, though. That's funny. They're the same size as everything else.
Yeah. I have no lime at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
Huh.
Wait, no, I do. I do. I'm sorry, I do have the Burt ones.
So I think I'm going to have a lime one and maybe a caramel.
Okay, fair. One. That's good. That's a good combo. You know what? I'll have a orange one and a caramel. That way we're all doing something different.
I'm going to take all of them and cram all of them in my mouth all at once. Well, not all of the whole bag, but one of each flavor.
Just one of each flavor?
I wish I had some little gummy pigs I could throw these at. We're safe inside of wooden structures. All right, here we go.
Ugh, that's going to be a mouthful.
Oh, tastes like...
Oh, the eggs are really hard.
Oh, really?
Really? Well,
in fact, I'm going to...
It's because they were made back in
1930.
All right. I'm going to lick it.
All right, let's see what we got here.
Oh.
Hold on.
Pineapple coconut's pretty good.
Yeah, the caramel ones are not meant to bite. You're just asking for trouble.
All day egg sucker?
I didn't tell you guys the other night when we were at that gala dinner thing for Wendy. Mm-hmm. I watched an old lady chew on a piece of Melba toast that you dip in like some kind of fish dip they had there. And I watched her, what do you call them? Her dentures fall out.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, her rich, expensive dentures went, bleh, just fell out of her mouth.
Whoops.
Yep. It was kind of embarrassing for her and me, to be honest.
Smells like an old lady's underwear that she's tried to make smell better.
All right, great. I don't mind the gummy. I don't think I like the egg. But there you go, Finland. Once again, armies of nearly translucent people making candy each and every day. And the world's a better place.
Those are really good all mixed together.
With their Nokia phones and their little baby fish heartbeats.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ooh, had to get that down. Okay, so Daryl, let's get back to the business here. Oh, birthdays in Star Trekville. Got to be something somewhere.
Yeah, that would be... Well, I have two of them. Carter Johnson, who has, I think, drew some Klingons and stuff.
Yeah.
Was 17 today.
She is 17 today.
You nice. Might know that.
Today in 1997, she was birthed to her mother. Yeah, she is 17 and she is, could not be more proud of Carter. It's funny. I should have a million things to complain about when by the time your kid's 17 and they should be in all kinds of trouble or whatever. She just doesn't do that stuff. She's the nicest, sweetest kid.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'm really proud of her. At 17, I was a total douche. She is not that. She is the opposite. Whatever the opposite of that is, that's what she is. Anyway, happy birthday to her.
Mm-hmm. And Kirsten Dunst is 32 today.
Whoa. How old are her snaggle really? Teeth? How old are those? Because those are ancient. Well, that's good. 32, that seems young.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I put her older than that? I don't know why I put her older than that, but I did.
I guess she was a little kid when she was on TNG.
Oh, that's right. She was on TNG. Mm-hmm. And then she did Jumanji.
She did Interview with a Vampire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she was a little girl in that.
Mm-hmm.
A little freaked out girl. I remember now.
A little vampire girl.
Yeah. Did she know that
a little freaked out girl who became a vampire?
One day she would kiss Spider-Man upside down?
Probably not. Probably had no idea.
No.
Probably not a goal.
No. Probably not even in her head. All right. Well, happy birthday to her as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Daryl, let's get back to the question here then. Chekhov says how close they're going to be to this here planet. Or the closest Klingon outpost. Closest Klingon outpost. Say that fast.
Closest Klingon outpost.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Maybe it's actually has some rhythm. Is it?
Closest Klingon?
Is it 1 parsec, 2 parsecs, 3 parsecs, or 4 parsecs?
I don't think it was 3 or 4.
Maybe it was
1930.
1930.
I think I tried too hard to imitate myself in the first one and overdid it a little bit.
Speaking of Ernie from Ernie and Bert, geez, Louise.
Yeah, people listening probably don't realize that that's a new version, a newly recorded version of the same song that Daryl did when he was a youngster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recorded by the new Daryl, by the current Daryl.
Yeah, the new improved Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's not in some room recording on a tape recorder, the words 1930. Right. Oh, wait, he is doing that. Never mind. That's great. Anyway, I want to play that all the time now.
I'm not sure other people would want that. It's but
so much better. Oh, poo, that sounds hard.
I know. We won't do it. Don't worry.
And the gagging noise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, everybody's done with that one.
Mm. Oh, that's a fender.
I'm accumulating a lot of Daryl clips, I've noticed. I have a lot here. Good Lord.
I'm going to say it's between 1 and 2. I'm going to say 1.
You're going to say 1, which is 1 parsec? Oh, yeah, 1 parsec, yeah. Is that the one? Is that how close do you think they're going to be?
Yeah.
How long did it take the Millennium Falcon to do the Kessel Run? Do you know?
One parsec.
Oh.
12 parsecs.
12 parsecs, right?
Oh, okay.
Which never made sense, right? Because that's a distance, not a... That's a measurement of space, not a time.
Yeah.
That's so stupid. Yeah. Way to go, George. Change who shot first, but don't change that dumb line.
No one will ever analyze these movies.
Parsec sounds all spacey and stuff, and it's fine. Don't worry about it.
All right, well, let's find out if you're right. Is that right?
Congratulations!
You are the winner.
You're a winner!
1 parsec says they'll be within this 1 parsec of the Klingon outpost. Here's a clip of this going down with Chekhov, Kirk, and everybody else right there.
How close will we come to the nearest Klingon outpost if we continue on our present course?
1 parsec, sir. Close enough to smell them.
That is illogical, Ensign. Odors cannot travel through the vacuum of space.
I was making a little joke, sir.
Extremely little, Ensign.
Oh, geez, Spock. Geez.
Wow.
Such a dick sometimes, man. All right, well, way to go. Sorry, I'm choking down the rest of this bird. This angry bird. You've done it, Daryl. Way to go. I know it's a short week, but so far you're 100% on everything. So nicely done.
Yay.
Let's do it again tomorrow. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also This Week in Trek's own Daryl Skeels and part of the Grumpy Cast, which you can find on the iTunes and all over the place. Is there a website? I always forget to ask.
Nope, there isn't.
All right. Straight up Grumpy Cast, RSS, iTunes, all that. Go get it.
Yep.
Daryl, what are we playing now? You got a little game?
Is this a Star Trek food or an actual soup?
Okay, I got a theme for you. Here you go. All right. See? Nice and short.
Ooh.
Star Trek thing or actual soup? Okay, go.
Snert.
That's got to be a Star Trek thing.
It's what's-his-face's dog. The barbarian, the who's that Viking in the comic strips?
Hagar the Horrible. Hagar the Horrible, right. Yeah,
his dog was Snert, yeah.
Who's that Viking in the comic strip?
You knew who I was talking about.
I did, but it sounded so like, you're supposed to wait till you're 55 and in an old chair before you say something like that.
Who is that Viking in the funny pages?
Exactly. All right, so we say soup then. No, we say Star Trek. What are we saying? We're saying Star Trek thing. That's what we're saying,
we're
right?
We're saying Star Trek thing.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'm sure the reason that it was named after the Viking dog is because it's a Netherlands soup.
Oh, really? Oh, that's hilarious.
That works when we lose.
The clues were all right there for us, and we ignored them.
Well, I don't feel too bad because there are worse things in this life, like holding a poo bag to the next face of a lady. All right. To the next face of a lady. All right. What are we doing now? I know what we're doing.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Extra Life, the webcomic that you look to for stuff. Check out the latest at myextralife.com.
Dude walking a giant AT-AT for you Star Wars fans.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
Also available in print form if you want to get it. signed or not, 11 or 12 by 18 or 20 by 30 inch. Pretty nice. If I say so myself, people should check it out.
Sure.
All righty. I'm very proud of that one. I went to great detail on it.
I really like that one. Yeah, I saw that yesterday. And
like, I was not dinking around. It was like, you know what? We're going to make a AT-AT, and I'm going to get serious about that AT-AT. I'm going to like put lots of little detail.
Major detail. Yeah.
Doors and levers and things, and I'm pretty happy with how it turned out, although it took a huge portion of my day that day. Anyway.
Sure, sure.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know the one.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wrestler.
He is a wrestler.
He's a
kind of breaking out to other things like...
He's a diverticulitis sufferer, you know.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. He's one of the,
oh, wow.
One of the famous people with holes in his unit. Steve Austin, in trouble, sort of, because he likes them gays. this could be misconstrued, so I better read it. World Wrestling Entertainment legend Stone Cold Steve Austin, a.k.a. Stephen James Anderson.
That's a good choice to rename him.
Yeah, it sounds like a serial.
Stephen James Anderson.
Delivered an impassioned speech on his podcast last July. That's just beginning to circulate this week. I don't know why, but anyway.
It was a really slow RSS.
I guess. Austin
took a long time to upload.
Austin declared an unequivocal support for same-sex marriage. He said, really any human being in the GD world who wants to get married, if it's the same sex, more power to him. Because Steve Austin said so. Stone Cold said so. But saved his most spirited rhetoric for people against gay marriage, primarily targeting those whose objections are based in religion. Quote, here's what he said. I can't do his voice, so I'm just going to read it.
Sure.
What also chaps my ass, that's a wrestler thing to say. Some of these churches have the high horse that they get on and say, we as a church do not believe in that. Austin wonders what church, quote, talked to God and God said same-sex marriage was non-can-do. Can you verify? Can you give me some background on the 411? Anyway, some people are mad at him because they think he shouldn't like gay people or think gay marriage is cool. You know where I stand, Internet. You know where I'm at on this.
Of course, of course.
So I'm not going to stir up any more trouble
today.
Start
sending your emails to Steve Austin,
yeah,
would you?
How about
from
that?
From now on, hey.
Because, yeah, you know... Live and let live, man. Let people do what they want to do.
Exactly. Good for him.
Yeah.
It's great that he came out in support of that
in
a
July.
Year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, while we were
here about it now.
Yeah, while we were on stage in Intertacular, he was proclaiming a thing that wouldn't come up until May the following year.
Nice.
Man photoshops himself. Photoshop man. What's his power?
Able to Gaussian blur his find edges at any time. Excelsior.
I hate that word.
Gaussian
blur. I hate it. Ugh, I see it in Photoshop. I just want to smack it. Man photoshops himself in a girlfriend's childhood photos. This is a little creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Weird Chinese story.
Yeah, no kidding.
China
is the Florida of the world.
They really are. They really are. The Chinese photographer's new series photoshops images of himself into his girlfriend's childhood photos, which is either hopelessly romantic or extremely awkward, depending on how the relationship pans out. Juan is his name. Mm-hmm. Not J, not like the J kind in Mexico, but like the W kind.
Like as in the second half of Obi.
Yeah, Obi-Wan. Well, this is Wan, I guess.
Well,
W-A-N.
Yeah.
Who first posted the images on the social media site Weibo? Or is it Weibo?
I don't know. I'd say Weibo.
I think it's their thing. It's like their
Weibo.
It's their equivalent to like Facebook over there.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because they ban a bunch of, they don't like Google. I don't know if you know this, but like Dropbox, Google, all that stuff's banned over there. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't do any of that crap.
Right.
What the hell, man? Says he wanted to write a love letter to his girlfriend's childhood self. Quote, I meant to send my love letter to little you, but without a time machine, the only thing I can do is come into your dream to meet you, he writes.
That's
a little
creepy.
Weird.
That yeah, is, that's creepy.
Weird. It's weird. Adobe has no comment. I wonder what they'd say about
do
that.
Do they have some of the photos? Yeah, right.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, they do, I think. Hold on.
I want to see. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, bizarre.
I think there's a video that may auto play here. Hold on. Let me pause that when it happens.
Okay. Here's by far the creepiest
one. I'm Logan Tibbs.
Sorry, she started talking. What?
By far the creepiest one is the one I'm going to copy and paste a link to this article in the chat room.
Oh,
the
my creepiest gosh!
One is the one of her as a little girl.
In her dress.
And him lifting up her dress to look underneath.
What the heck? Okay, there's no question now. You're wondering if it's creepy or romantic? No, no, no. It's creepy, dude. It's real creepy. Also, something weird with his leg. He's weird. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't like that. The dress just kills it.
He does a pretty good job of like matching, you know, making it look like
like
the lighting
there.
Is the same. Mm-hmm. And exactly.
Yeah.
But
he's got some filtering going on that makes him look like they're in the same era and all that.
Yeah.
But that dress one needs to go.
Yeah, that's by far the worst.
Plus, it looks like Kim Jong-un in that picture. Going, all right.
Right.
That guy's weird.
I don't know why. And why is he blowing his nose into his hands in the first one?
I don't know.
Like he's hiding in her room behind a bookshelf or something, behind a TV stand.
Why would you do that? It's creepy. Let's just all say what it is. It is creepy. I'll tell you what's not creepy. A nice close shave with razors you can count on and have be less expensive. So we got a bunch of replies from people using Harry's at harrys.com, HARRYS.com. And they're happy. People are sending us photos saying, I got it today and it's awesome. I love it. And they're spending less money. Let's say you got one of them Gillette Fusions or something.
Sure.
And you go down to your
I think that's like 11 blades on it, isn't that right? Gillette Fusion?
Some kind of weird thing.
Like four in the handle, right where you put your hand. And
right.
Then...
Cut yourself. So they are so expensive to replace. Like you're going to end up wearing that blade out because you want to get the most money out of it. But by the time you're done, that thing is dull and terrible. And what's better than a really, really nice shave? I mean, when you want a really good shave, you want it to be great.
Yeah.
You know, Brian, you got a bald head. You know.
Totally. I like a good close shave. Smooth.
Right.
Convincing.
Well, we're going to save you some money, but I want to tell you real quick why these guys are rad. Harry's is out there, started by a couple of dudes. Andy and Jeff were their names, and they just knew there was a better way. Focus on guys getting great shaving experiences at a fraction of the price, half the price of other razor blades, such as Gillette and others. They got a really clean, cool product design, less is better kind of notion, and I love that sort of thinking when it comes to design. They have high-quality blades engineered in their own factory in Germany. For sharpness and the strength, convenience and ease of getting them online, piece of cake, shipped right to your door. You'll love the look and the feel of this set. It's rad. And here's how you can save some money, because you heard about it here on the Morning Stream. Go to harrys.com, HARRYS.com, and use the offer code MORNINGSTREAM, all one word, MORNINGSTREAM. Get $5 off your first purchase. That's harrys.com with the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. I know you guys will like them. We do. And you will too. All right. All right.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Carrot Cake. Guess who's on this week? Patrick Beja and Eric Van Skyhawk. Be there or be lame. That's currentgeek.com for details.
Looking forward to that. It'll be Eric's first trip. I think this is maybe even third for Patrick. Patrick's perennial favorite. People love the Patrick.
No kidding. Yeah, this will be his third.
Yeah.
Shoot, we were tied, and now...
Now you're not. Well, it's have to get you on again.
Ugh.
Come on, man. We'll do it. We'll get an upcoming date. It's hard with Brian because it's like we already see each other so much that I feel like if it's one more hour during the week, we're just piling on.
It pushes, maybe exactly.
We'll do one of those weeks where we miss something else, and then we'll do it. How about that?
Sure.
Paul Simon.
Yes.
You can call him Larry, he can call you Al or whatever. How'd that go?
I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al.
That's the one. The album.
Roly-poly little bat face girl.
Yeah. That album I would call his gimmick album, wouldn't you?
What?
Kind of
Graceland?
Gimmicky. Yeah, it's a little gimmicky.
Oh, gimmicky. No way. That's brilliant.
But he never did it again. Like, it was all, hey, I'm way into the South Africa business. And then it was over. That's all.
Well, but I don't think... That doesn't necessarily make it a gimmick. I mean, you know, you can do a concept album, which I think is probably the better way to phrase it. I mean, you know, you look at other musicians, other bands, and there's albums that kind of stand out as kind of their unique one. The Beatles had Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. They never did anything else like that.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not going to disagree.
You know, stuff like that. So,
All right.
So he can totally jam out with Ladysmith Black Mambazo and do it for one album and then move on to the next great thing.
I agree with you. So I'm no longer going to call it a gimmick. I think I'm going to call
okay.
it.
Okay. Right. Call it a concept album if you want to call it something. If it has to be.
I'm going to call it Al. Wait, wasn't that they had the video with Chevy Chase in it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I remember that.
Yep.
Paul Simon. This is not good news, though. He's 72 also.
Right.
And has been arrested for disorderly conduct after a domestic incident with his wife. Singer Paul Simon was arrested in Connecticut, as I like to say, over the weekend during a domestic violence incident with his wife, Edie Brickell, of Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians. Mm-hmm. Remember her? How old is she, anyway?
What I am is what I am.
She's
what
younger you than us. Know? Weird.
Oh, yeah.
42.
Yeah. 42.
So wait, hold on. When he was 20, how old is she?
She wasn't even born. She was negative 10.
That's kind of gross. Isn't that a little weird? I know they're adults now, but
actually they have about the same age gap as the Chinese guy and his toddler girlfriend in those photos.
All right, that's creepier. So Simon still wins. Let's see. The 72-year-old Simon and Garfunkel frontman and Brickell, age 42.
Simon and Garfunkel frontman.
Yeah. You know, they're not even together and you're still screwing Garfunkel. You're still right. Just sticking it to him by saying that.
Like, basically, here's a band with two people. Paul Simon's the front man.
Yeah, there's no front man.
Garfunkel, the back man.
This isn't Diamond Dave with Van Halen. This is not, yeah, you can say he's the front man of Van Halen, but you don't say that about right. Simon or Garfunkel. They were a duo.
Right.
That was the point of that. I feel bad for Garfunkel. What's he doing anyway? You know the guy's got talent. let's see. Brickell, age 42, got into a fight in their New Canton, Connecticut home. New Canaan, rather. Home Saturday night, and police were called. Both Simon and Brickell were arrested for a disorderly conduct charges. Apparently, they were just going at it. You know what? Here's what I think. Mm-hmm. If I was 42,
mm-hmm.
and my old man was 72.
Here's something weird, by the way. She's actually 48.
Oh, why is it say 42?
Radar Online got it wrong. Something that Deadpool said that she was 47. I had to go look it up. And it actually turns out that she turned 48 on March 10th.
Oh, well then.
Yeah, I know. But it's still 25 years, yeah.
So she's what I am is what I... Is that who that is?
That's who, yep. Okay. Exactly.
I'm just checking around. Why is she in a bunch of pictures with Steve Martin? What's going on there?
They put out an album together last year.
Oh, with his
banjo. Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
I would listen to that because he's actually really good.
And she's got a great voice.
Yeah, he's
she's not doing the whole Ricky Lee Jones thing.
They were married in 1992. Brickell was performing on SNL on Saturday, November 88, when she noticed Simon standing in front of the cameraman. Just noticed him. They have three children together. So there you go.
Apparently there was some audio that Tina heard yesterday, I think on Howard Stern, and it was the court. Just a little clip audio from the court appearance after this.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Paul Simon saying, no, I'm not afraid of my wife.
Oh, I bet I have this.
Oh, here. Really?
Yeah,
oh, gosh,
I'm
going to
find
so.
It here. Video. Okay. They're hanging out. That's them hanging out. They're actually in there together. Okay, here we go. Here's some video.
All right.
I wish I was more prepared. Okay. Oh, great. Thank you, The Guardian. All right, there he is, coming out of his car with her. Oh my gosh, he doesn't look like Paul Simon anymore.
Yes, I'd like to say something.
All right, Mr. Simon, go ahead, sir.
The both of us are fine together.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of us, we're going to go back home today. We're going to go watch our son play baseball. We had an argument, and it's atypical of us.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of us has any fear.
This is the loudest camera ever.
You know what's weird? He looks like somebody's accountant. He doesn't look like Paul Simon anymore. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't get old normally and stuff, but you know how a lot of musicians, maybe I should admire this, but a lot of musicians keep putting on the show of whatever it is they are.
Sure.
And then keep, you know, fake hair and, you know, all
sure,
this.
Sure, David Lee Roth, good example of that.
Sure. He's just letting it go. And there's something kind of nice about that. It's like, just I'm just going to do this the way I was supposed to. I'm just going to grow old gracefully. And
he almost looks like a Bob Balaban character.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of does. All right. Well, apparently they're fine.
Yeah.
No, no news is good news.
We're all fine here.
We're all fine here. Hey, that's a good lead-in, Brian. Star Wars Episode 7 has been cast, and they showed a big picture of them all sitting around a room talking to J.J. Abrams, who is literally living his childhood dream right now.
Golly.
Can you imagine? Wow.
And that photo, it's funny because the first time I glanced at it, I thought, oh, well, this was obviously taken back in 1976, you know, as they were getting ready to start filming for Star Wars. But because it's in that black and white style and
kind of washed out looking.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And then you start looking, it's like, oh, no, that's J.J. Abrams. Oh, no, who's that? Is that Harrison Ford sitting there next to him?
And, I know, right? Yeah. Having a little chat, sitting in the exact same lounged position he was in the bar, the cantina, when Greedo tried to come over there and, you know, said La Osca or whatever, and he shot him. I bet you have. He's the same exact setting position as he was in that
movie. Totally.
After months of silence, Lucasfilm announced the main cast of the forthcoming sequel, Episode 7, in a explosive sentence Tuesday. Actors John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, he's from that Girls Business. Oscar Isaac from the new Who's Eating Ewan Davis or whatever it is. What's the name of that movie?
the newer one, the new Inside Cohen. Inside Ewan Davis.
There it is. That's it. Davis. Something like that. Andy Serkis. I'll bet you he's all CGI'd up. If you want my bet.
Yeah.
Domhnall Gleeson. I don't know him, but somebody said he's great. Max von Sydow, dude. We'll join the original stars Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, and Kenny Baker. So Kenny Baker confirmed R2-D2 will be Kenny Baker for chunks of the movie. He will be
Why
in the can.
Sticking him in that box? Does he have to sit in that little cardboard box in the R2 costume while they all sit in these comfy couches and chairs?
Oh, you mean in the photo? That's a good question. It's cool to see Mayhew, though, sitting there reading the script, looking at whatever he's looking at. I mean, it's a cool photo. There's some real iconic stuff going on there.
Yeah, it's really
I'm really, really cool. excited. anyway, by the way, Chewbacca and R2-D2, who up till now was only the character officially known as returning, or officially known to be returning to the franchise, Ford, Fisher, and Hamill's participation has been something of an open secret since last year, ever since George Lucas accidentally mentioned it in a Bloomberg Business Week. And he said,
"Hi, I think they'll all be returning."
And that was kind of the big, that was the big reveal. And nobody ever tells George to shut up, right?
Right.
He's just going to let him talk.
Right.
The photos of the trio in London in recent days made the fact even more abundantly clear. And I got to say, they all look pretty trim there. Pretty fit.
Yeah, they do.
Mark Hamill especially, because he'd been going through a rough phase.
Now, that's not him in the, like, to the right of...
He's over way on the left, and he's turning toward...
Okay. Yeah, that's the one I thought. All right.
Turning toward Bald Man.
Right.
I don't know if that's Von Sydow. It might be.
Oh, certainly could be. Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out who the guy is that's just to J.J. Abrams' right. J.J. Abrams' right. Like, he's to the left from our point of view.
Well, I have a prediction. And okay. My prediction is Max Von Sydow will be evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty good prediction.
Yeah. He ain't casting.
Will probably be.
yeah. Probably be.
Yes.
Evil. So will this this other kid, this Adam Driver kid.
The Girls. Yeah, the guy from Girls. The some great tweets about that photo. Andy Greenwald, at Andy Greenwald, said, "The best thing about the Star Wars cast photo is that the only one studying the script is the guy who plays a barking teddy bear."
That's awesome. The rest are laughing and chatting and hanging out.
Yes, exactly.
Just imagine being in that room, dude. I mean, it must be something else. Just the cross-generational stuff going on here. And in some cases, like, Max von Sydow is like, you know...
He's a legend.
Somebody these other guys looked up to, and now they're the old farts. And I don't know, that's just a fantastic thing. I'm really getting excited.
Yeah, me too. And you know that one of those crates back there...
Yeah.
Has the Ark of the Covenant in it.
Right, it totally does. Don't look at it, Marion. Close your eyes, Marion.
I'm surprised nobody photoshopped that. I mean, there's all these photoshops of like the hologram Death Star floating above in the middle of the room.
Which is a great idea.
Exactly. But nobody photoshopped that little imprint that they put on the Ark of the Covenant onto that crate you can fully see back there.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Get on that ironic name, and then have a have the melting German guy in the background. Have him melting. That'd be great.
Right.
That's it for that. Let's Tweaked Audio our way to a break here. TweakedAudio.com, providing earbuds that you're going to know and you're going to love. And when Star Wars Episode 7 comes out for portable devices and you're like, man, I got my iPad or my Nexus 7 here. I want to hear this and just beautiful, wonderful surround. And I want the whole rest of the world to be blocked out. Well, hot damn, I got a deal for you. Go to TweakedAudio.com, grab a pair of these awesome earbuds, pick a style you like, and then check out with the code STREAM for 33% off. That's a good deal. 33% off with STREAM at checkout at TweakedAudio.com. Thank them for their support, continued support of the show. Okay, well, there's your deal. That's your stuff. Let's do a song. You get any music?
I do. This one, by the way, big happy birthday also going out to Dodd Vickers.
Oh, happy birthday, Dodd.
Happy birthday to him. I like that Skype lets you know that there's somebody's birthday. If you're not a big Facebook guy, I'm not a huge Facebook guy, but when I pull up Skype every day and I see somebody's birthday, I'm like, hey, happy birthday.
It's funny that it's anyway. One of the only ways we actually find out. Somehow Skype has become this thing. Isn't it weird?
It's weird. It is true. Yeah. The telephone is telling you somebody's birthday.
Really weird.
All right. So this one is going out to CJ. Says, hi, Bot and Scryant. By the way, I'm waiting for hi, Bag of Poop and Shitface or something like that. That's going to be coming soon.
Okay.
Hi, Bot and Scryant. My husband, Brandon, has a birthday coming up on April 30th. Could you please play any cover of Somewhere Out There from the movie An American Tale? He loves this song, but he's always embarrassed when it makes him cry. I love him very much, and I'm glad we found one another in the great Somewhere Out There. Aww. Love the show, though, CJ.
It's adorable.
Aw, that is adorable.
Yeah.
I'm about to take those dreams and dash them against the rocks. So this will be great. So the song originally done by James Ingram and Linda Ronstadt for the movie American Tale. Let's play it from another soundtrack. This one comes from the television show Community, a favorite of mine. And I remember this episode. I could not tell you what led up to Abed and Troy singing the song together. Mm. But it's obvious that their talents are better used in comedy than in singing. Mm. Here are Donald Glover and Danny Pudi with their cover of Somewhere Out There.
Wonderful. We'll be back in a minute. We'll have Nicole, we'll have Tom, and we'll have more. Stay tuned.
Somewhere out there, beneath the pale moonlight, someone's thinking of me and loving me tonight.
And when the night wind starts to sing a lonesome lullaby, it helps to think we're sleeping underneath that same big sky.
A lot of people think you are supposed to eat watermelon with a fork. Show you what a fork looks like there. And, of course, that's not true. There is a fork. And the fork cartel many years ago sort of brainwashed people into thinking you're supposed to eat a watermelon with a fork, just in an attempt to sell forks. But the correct way to eat a watermelon is with a spoon. This is what a spoon looks like. You can see why you want to use a spoon for watermelon.
Don't underestimate the insect people, Planet Man.
The Morning Stream. Terrific equipment to have in battle.
The fork cartel, Brian.
Yes, the fork cartel mm-hmm. with their fork propaganda.
Yeah. It was an attempt to sell spoons. Or no, forks. But as we all know, that's just not true. He said that stuff with such reckless abandon that it kind of bothered me. Like, I don't like conspiratorial stuff anyway, but that one really got to me for some reason. Anyway, hey, welcome back, everybody. It's good to have you.
Yes. It's good to be back.
It's called
Nicole.
Back
from the commercial.
Call Nicole.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on. I think she's right here. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, Daniel. Not Daniel.
No, don't call Daniel. Oh, my God.
Oh, Daryl, it said.
We'll never get him off the phone.
He'll never leave. All right. That looks like we're underway. Now let's find her little themey-jeemy. And it goes something like this right here. Right here. Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome Nicole Spag to the show. It's Nicole Spag.
Hi. Back at a year older.
Are you really?
Yay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your birthday happened since
birthday.
We last saw you. That's right.
I forgot it was my birthday.
That's all right. I've done that. I totally get it. I never do anything for my birthday, though. So, I mean, Kim tries to do things, but I kind of just, I'm like, I'm fine. I don't need anything. And I sort of avoid it. But did you have a nice one?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah? It was all right?
Yeah. Not too bad.
We're all at that age where we stop caring a little bit about that, you know?
It's kind of weird. I don't know. I get older. Mm-hmm. I get wiser, I hope.
Yeah.
And,
That's all any of us can hope for.
More muscles hurt and...
and you kind of, it's almost, your birthday becomes more for other people anyway. Like it's more, it'll be more important to Mark and Mateo as he gets older that mom's having a birthday than it ever will be for you anymore. And I kind of miss it. You know, as a kid, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it's like it's training for Mateo to learn how to blow out the candles now.
Yeah, exactly. That's what birthdays are for, is give him good lung strength. So Nicole does this thing where she comes on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. We call it Recommendals, and she talks about streaming stuff that she's really into. Sometimes it has a theme, sometimes it doesn't, but either way, we don't care. We're just happy to have her
here. So how long have I been doing this?
A long time, probably a year or more. More than that.
I think it's like two plus.
It's been like
now.
2+ years now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy shite.
And I don't necessarily think of myself as an angry person.
No. I don't even think of you as an angry bird, if that helps.
But I'm going to use my time today to vent.
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Pissed off.
Oh my gosh, really?
Really, really mad.
She's mad as hell, and she's not going to take it.
Let me tell you,
I'm so mad I might cry.
There are two people in this world that I never, ever want to make mad. You want to know who they are? It's my wife, Kim, and it's Nicole Spagnolo. And the reason is...
I could never be mad at you.
I know, but like that would ever happen to us anyway. But the point is that you are not, if you are mistreated, you don't take it. Like you will fight back. And it's an admirable quality, but there have been times where I've seen the results of it and go, oh, I'm glad I'm not on the other end of that stick. Anyway, so lay it on us. What's going on?
All right. So it is not just me. You know, maybe the audience doesn't know. I used to be in the tech industry. Mm-hmm. I worked in the tech industry. I worked as a trainer. I worked as a programmer. Mm-hmm. Women in the tech industry, it's a fact, we are on the margin. We are marginalized. There's just not many of us.
Sure.
So I've never thought of myself as a person to go out there and say, you need to be in technology or in science and da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
But... when I see something like this happen, and I'm not going to say the website or anything like that, but it took something I hold dear and just crapped all over it, and it sexualized it and objectified women, and it pissed me off to the point that I've been thinking about this for almost an entire week.
Wow.
Wow, that's a lot. In our million things in front of us distracting us culture we live in now, yes. It's hard to keep anything in your head for a week. That's amazing.
You really don't like that black and white picture of Carrie Fisher sitting around looking at the script, do you?
But what I want to say, and the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I want women and even men that have daughters to know of some resources that inspired me growing up.
Right.
As well, and it's going to tie into the movies. I even have a few movies to talk about. But I want to say that one of my biggest pet peeves is when a woman is talking to me and says, "Oh, I'm not that techie. You're more techie." And they undervalue themselves. And they talk down. They kind of bring themselves down because there's a lot of psychology, and I would love for Wendy to talk about this. Yeah, if she hasn't
I was
already.
Just thinking the same thing. It'd be a good one. Good
There's
topic.
A lot of psychology around how women are brought up and how we find our roles in society. And one of the things that I like to do is I read a lot of books and I'm going to recommend three books for women out there. So if you feel like you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you are, you're not giving yourself enough credit. And we do that all the time.
You have to tell me what website this is. If you don't, and you don't have to tell me now, but I'm dying now to know what the hell happened. I haven't even heard of this.
I'll tell you the parody of a website that people put up to counteract it. To say we don't like it. It's called Code Dicks.
Code Dicks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll send you there because it's hilarious and it's the exact opposite of the other site.
Yeah. Then I have heard of this. Yeah.
Yes. So I don't know why. It just stuck in my crawl because I don't like the idea of young women seeing stuff like this and thinking that this is okay to objectify women like this. And you know, there's probably somebody listening like, oh, you know, lighten up. No, I'm not going to lighten up. It's stuff like this that penetrate our society that make women uncomfortable to be in roles like IT, roles in science. I'm just pissed. So there you go.
All right.
So I'm going to give the women listening three books to read. This is your homework, ladies. I want you to read a book called Lean In. I want you to read a second book called Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. And then the third book I want you to read is Secrets of a Six-Figure Woman. That one's a really good one because it challenges your ideas on how much money is too much money to earn. Like, we all have a weird comfort with money. And it's just these are really, really good books to read. If you're a woman, I don't care if you're a waitress. I don't care if you're still in school. Every woman should be reading these books, and you will gain some insight from how you act in a workplace and how you may even end up in your career. So,
all right.
Woo!
Yeah, let it out, man.
Woo!
So I've traced back the breadcrumbs here. I had not heard of this. I had no idea this was
horrible.
A thing.
It's horrible.
It seems really, really horrible. I'll tell you what impresses me, though. The reaction parody site nailed to the to the pixel. They nailed the layout and design. Yeah. So just from a purely forget about all of the swirling crap in this thing, just from a pure like web... I'm amazed how perfectly they've matched it. Like, that's really impressive to me. But I'll have to read up on the stink here because this looks real stupid to me.
It's so stupid, and I just want when I talk with women that kind of undervalue their knowledge, there are so many resources out there. Even just learning the act of programming, I think, should be a requirement for everyone because it gives you so many troubleshooting skills. Like, it goes beyond just the computer at that point. Once I learned programming, I kind of applied it to my entire life. It's amazing.
Sure.
And you have websites like Code Academy. There's another one called Code Avengers. These are all free sites that kind of give you the fundamentals of programming and troubleshooting. And there are no reasons in today's day and age with the technology that we have available to us that we should not be taking advantage of teaching ourselves and educating ourselves, this kind of stuff. So
I'm going to read you one line off this website. I want to gauge your anger at the line. Okay.
I'm already fuming. Like I'm shaking. Yeah. I'm so mad.
Well, let's see how mad this one makes you, just for funsies here. Cause you know, with our brother sister relationship, it's fun to tease. So here you go. Instructors, not your typical programming instructors. Remember that Van Halen music video, Hot for Teacher? Yeah, it's kind of like that, except you're actually learning something.
Oh, my God. Well, here's there was another line.
That's so dumb, dude.
There was another line that they said that we're gamification. I'm like, oh, F you. You are not taking my games, too. And crappy over them. Wow. Oh my God.
This is real bad. And I'm just.
It's so bad.
I haven't seen any of the video stuff, but some of this stuff is real. This is real, real stupid.
It's real stupid.
Yeah.
And I don't want to promote it, but I do want to address that this is just the straw that broke the camel's back for me.
Yeah.
You know, this is the one that just kind of took me over the edge. I see it all the time. And I just kind of, you know, I'm just on my path doing my thing. If I keep doing my thing, you know, that should speak loud. For anyone that's, you know, I don't know if anyone looks up to me, whatever. I don't know. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing, focus on my mission and my goal in life, which is to you know, gain more knowledge, help more people, do my thing,
right,
and enjoy what I enjoy. And I enjoy technology. I enjoy gaming. And I don't want to feel weird for doing that.
You shouldn't feel weird. This is what you're doing is the right thing. What these guys are doing is just weird. And then but then again, look, there's always going to be creepy weirdos and doing stupid stuff. I'm just glad.
Exactly.
Part of me is glad they exist only because we get these great parody sites that come up after. I mean, the internet has a way of answering, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
exactly. You know. And you know, and by no means am I saying this is the general consensus of the internet. This is just one sliver
it's a part of
it.
It's a street you don't want to visit. I get it. Totally get it.
But for me, this is the little stuff that chips away at a young girl's esteem. You know, I've been harassed. I've experienced things that no one should experience in the tech industry.
Right.
And it's just not right. And I don't want to see stuff like this to encourage other men thinking that it is okay. I mean, only the stupid ones are going to think that, but still, there's stupid ones in the tech industry.
Yeah.
And here's a little secret. Most people don't know what the hell they're talking about in the corporate world. That's one of the things I learned, that not everybody knows everything, but the people that really make things happen, they admit they don't know things.
Yeah.
And they know how to get it done.
Sure.
So.
Right.
I'm on such a soapbox today. I'm sorry.
It's super stupid. It's super stupid. Just for the record, I was trying to accidentally tweeted their name, but I didn't mean to, and I deleted it. When I was trying to do a search for their name, I'm trying to see what kind of reaction they're getting on Twitter to their Twitter account.
Oh, uh-huh.
They're getting reamed.
Yeah.
Yeah, as they should be. I mean, that's, you know, the internet will speak up. There'll be this small percentage that says, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. And it's probably a bunch of guys who look like the guys on Code Dicks. Yeah. But for the most part, you know, the internet does a fairly good job of self-policing itself.
And, usually, when it comes to stuff like this, there's going to be a side of it that's always going to speak up. So there you go.
So I will quickly tie in three movies
that
inspired me. And there's actually one TV show in there. As a young girl, my earliest memory is being Wonder Woman. Watching Linda Carter on Wonder Woman, the TV show, twirling around, saving my, you know, my dad would be like, Wonder Woman, save me. And I twirl and I become Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that was my earliest memory of just being and seeing a powerful woman on TV.
You know, there's a thing that there's always been these two ways of thinking about Wonder Woman. And then even in the Linda Carter era, she was kind of objectified in some ways, right?
Yeah.
Like this, oh, let's give her the skimpiest clothes and whatever, and let's show off her boobs and all these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But They also did a pretty good job of getting the core character right, which was this this independence and strength and kind of not going to take no crap from nobody sort of attitude. And that was really where the comic source was. I mean, the comics have always been more about that than about how does she look in skimpy clothes. And for a show that was made in the 70s, when it was real hard to get through some of those core principles of the character and it was real easy to rely all on the looks, I think they did a pretty good job considering what they were up against.
And in fact, I'm recommending the documentary that looks at Wonder Woman, not just the TV show. Linda Carter's in the documentary. It's called Wonder Women, the Untold Story of American Superhero Heroines.
Nice.
You can't find this streaming, unfortunately, but I do encourage you to seek it out. I kickstarted this about 2 years ago, and it's been in a whole bunch of festivals and stuff like that. And you can, if you're an educator, they will give you a copy of it as well.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you go to wonderwomendoc.com, you can watch some of the previews, but it goes behind the scenes with Lindsay Wagner, who was,
she's a bionic woman.
Bionic woman.
Yeah.
It looks
She probably cost about $6 million too. It's fine. You can call her that.
Well, but yeah, more or less the same thing.
Right.
She
was she's the lady version.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, why not?
So yeah, I recommend anyone wanting to know the history of Wonder Woman, not just the TV show, but the comic and why she came about and there was women's revolutions, you know. So there you go. Watch the documentary.
Yeah.
Now the next two are going to be a little weird because they're comedies, and I've already recommended this one before, but Working Girl was one of my go-to movies, and I really liked Melanie Griffith and her role in this.
This is the Harrison Ford business, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Harrison Ford, Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
She's like a lowly, she's in like the typing area. She's in the lowest position in this company, and she has a mind for business and a bod for other stuff. But the point is, she's a smart woman and she goes after what she wants and she shows her value. And yeah, there's Harrison Ford kind of, thing going on there. But still, yeah. I'm focusing on the empowering woman part of it.
Well, yeah. But I mean, his part, he is brought down to, I mean, the whole point of it was to take him off his high ego horse, right?
Right.
And say, hey, it's not a man's world entirely there, buddy.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, this is the 88. This is, even today, corporate America is primarily male dominated, especially when you start getting up to the, CEO level. And that's kind of where she was wanting to go. She wanted to go to the higher level. And in 88, the glass ceiling was really low, I think.
Right.
And then finally, this is kind of a funny movie, but I remember as a kid watching it, and even though the main character is played by a male, it's a really great feminist type of film, and it's the 1982 film Tootsie.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie.
With Dustin Hoffman, Jessica Lange, Terry Garr.
Bill Murray! He's the freaking roommate. He was fantastic in that.
Yes, he was great.
Unfortunately, you can't find this one streaming either, but I wanted to go with the theme of films that really kind of struck me as go women. Mm-hmm. So this
or
is
go
one
as
of
women.
Yeah, or go as women. But there's a really, really good interview out there with Dustin Hoffman, and he's reflecting on his impact he had on women. And he even tears up.
Oh, wow.
I think he's talking about how women are judged solely on their beauty. And yeah, I'll find the link and I'll tweet it.
That
but
sounds
it
interesting.
Was,
yeah.
Yeah. And that's why he did Tootsie.
Hmm.
Because there was something that happened. I think it was with his mother or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was the kind of thing that he's like, I have to do Tootsie. So
I feel like it's kind of required viewing. If you like movies, I feel like Tootsie's up there. You got to see it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really is
sure.
great.
For sure.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So, yeah, there's my end rant.
All right, yeah. Rant off. Nicole, always a pleasure. See, I knew we'd get around to not only do you have an important thing to say, but these are fun movies anyway in their own right.
Yeah.
TV
yeah,
shows. So sure. Go see them, watch them. Nicole is all over the damn place on the internet and doing things all the time. Anything in particular you should point people to today?
Do you want to announce? Do you want me to tell the folks
the app thing? Yeah. Do it. I'm going to do a big post later, but yes, absolutely. This is a good place to do it.
So, you know, being my programmer self, every year I do something for Nerdtacular and create an app. And this year I changed it up a bit. And if you're going to Nerdtacular, or even if you're not going to Nerdtacular, it's out. The app is out. It's not in iTunes. You have to go to it directly. I'm using a different service because I really wanted to address the inconsistencies between Android and iOS this year.
Yeah.
And this system allowed me to do that. So if you go to tinyurl.com/nerdtacular, you're gonna get the app. And see the schedule.
I'll tell you everything you have to do there. It's super easy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's through a tool called YApp. So you'll have an app called YApp and it'll be inside of that. And you can use that on both Android and iOS. So tinyurl.com/nerdtacular and it will take you to where you need to go and it will install it on your phone and you'll have, or iPad. It has an iPad version too.
Just Symbian and Windows phone users. Nothing. No luck. Sorry. It'll have to be all web for you.
It's
really cool. Do check it out. That's tinyurl.com/nerdtacular. Do it.
Nerdtacular.
Now. Thanks, Nicole. Have a great week.
Bye.
All right. Bye. See ya.
See you, Nicole.
Girl power. Woo!
Yeah.
Why I can't find it. There we go. All right. Good stuff.
Very good.
Good things to think about there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we
glad she didn't recommend Spice World as one of her women
not really.
Power movies.
Josie and the Pussycats. Right. A few movies. Ladies in Jail. No. What's that prison one I saw? Prison Ladies. something.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. There was a whole genre of women in jail movies.
Yeah. Talking about your 70s business right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. We're going to get Tom Merritt all up in this. And there is nothing he can do about it.
Nope. Although, contractually obligated.
He may have. I hope he remembered. He should be in there. Dots are still rising.
Rising.
Rise, dots rise, and conjure up a Tom Merritt.
Rising.
Maybe he forget. If he forget, we move on.
If he not forget, we don't. All right, well, we'll let it ring for a second.
Okay.
Watching, we don't officially have, we weren't going to do official emails today.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to read one kind of impromptu here.
All right. Sounds good.
And it's because it's cool. Hold on. I got to bring it up real fast. And then here we go. All right. Okay. Here we go. Brandon Guzman, heir to the Luis Guzman fortune.
There's a big franchise, big throne there to inherit.
Oh, yeah. He says, have you guys ever been asked, would you like some drugs in the weirdest places? Like for me, it was at my university and someone said, would you like some Buddha? Anyway. He wants to know if you've ever been asked if you'd like
offered
some drugs
in a really weird place.
Or even not in a weird place. Brian, has anyone ever come to you and said, Brian, here, would you like some of these drugs I have?
Oh,
here?
Tons. I mean, growing up in Colorado, way before it became legal. I mean, there were friends that I knew in high school who were all into drugs and I'd get offered them all the time and always turned down, obviously.
Yeah.
But, it's probably become more common.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the last time somebody offered me drugs. I mean, up at this annual event called the Clambake, where a bunch of guys get together in the mountains. We steam clams and boil lobsters and I don't do it anymore. It was ended about 3 or 4 years ago, but. Just sitting around there and people are like, hey, want to hit?
Wow, really? So mostly pot kind of offers.
Mostly pot, yeah.
I have only been offered drugs once in my entire life. And it was somebody with a bag of something that I couldn't identify. He didn't even tell me what it was. And it didn't look like pot because it was in a bag. I assumed it was something I had to snort or, you know, eat or something.
Like some
oregano. I take that back. There was one other time, and this was in high school. Somebody offered a what looked like a stamp, and he said it was an acid thing, like a lick. You'd lick it, and you'd have a trip or whatever.
Oh, yeah, like acid. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I turned it down. I didn't know what the hell that was all about, so I was not interested. That was in high school. The other thing happened in my early 20s. But since then, not a soul. Lots of people want me to drink all the time, but no no drugs, per se. So, Tony, sorry, man. Not a lot of good stories for you. You got the clam bake and you got me.
Sorry, yeah.
It's all good. All right, here's another one for you.
Okay.
Have you guys ever gotten into a fight verbally or into a discussion with one another?
You and me?
Yeah, the night attack fight had me sad and thinking if you two ever did, if you haven't, what would you guys predict would cause it? Love the show, though. I didn't even hear about the night attack
fight. I haven't heard about the night attack fight either.
Apparently, there was some kerfuffle.
And that's why jury's in Mexico.
But can you ever believe them anyway? I can't take that seriously if those two ever got in a fight because it would be like, oh, I'm getting punked here. No, we've never argued. Have
no.
we?
No. No, not at all. I mean, and we've disagreed about points of view on a couple things, but no, I mean.
Yeah, but disagreeing, I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Like we can, right. I disagree. Brian probably disagrees all the time with me because I say stupid shit every day, but it doesn't, but we've never, I mean, that's actually one of my life's precepts is you can have two very different, you and I are actually a lot alike, so it doesn't really count, but. If you took like ultra religious and non religious dude and put them in the same room, I still maintain they may disagree on the most fundamental beliefs of their whole life. They can still hang out and get along.
Right.
There's no need to fight.
No, exactly. And it's good to actually have that differing point of view to look at. So,
yeah. If anything, Brian and I should be more mad at each other. All right, let me think here.
Brian's, no kidding. Why do I put up with some of that crap? Wait a minute.
You and that goatee. If I told you how much that goatee pisses me off, just pisses me off.
Freaking bald headed.
That's the best I got. I don't have anything else. Brian doesn't do anything to make me mad. But no, I we've never, to answer your question, Brandon, we've never had that. I mean, there's always time. I guess we'll wait and see.
Exactly. There'll be some point which I'll, I just can't take another poop story. I'm done.
That's it. Like, one more a bag of poop on a lady's face. Really? You're taking poop to the next level, baby.
Right.
Then finally, I'm going to read this real quick.
Okay.
Love me some Daryl. Daryl, you'll like this if you're listening. Actually, you know what we'll do since Tom's not answering? Let's add Daryl back to the call.
Daryl back in? Sure.
Because he'll get a kick out of
it. Oh, my God. How's he going to be able to handle this?
He'll get a kick out of it. Add to call. I don't know. He may not even be expecting it. I don't know. Because he won't hear me say that until another 20 seconds or something. But we'll try to add him. Anyway. Come on. Why isn't it working? Now he's. Oh yeah, Daryl, are you there?
What you calling me for?
Sorry. I got an email about you. We want to read on the air. All right.
Oh, okay.
So here you go, dear.
We love to hear your angry reaction live.
She says it's Heather. She says, "Dear South Beach Diet," meaning Scott, Brian, Daryl.
Oh, nice.
It seems that Stump and Treckner received slack from some listeners. I just wanted to say that I love me some Daryl. I don't know if it's the fact that you can always count on there being a Daryl segment and that consistency makes my otherwise chaotic life feel like it has some order to it, or the fact that his bubbling giggle is perhaps one of the best things I've ever heard, or the way he thinks out loud through his answers like a contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when it used to be cool, she says. But the dude that just always makes me smile. So I say... to the haters and let the Daryl roam free. Thank your yo-yo, Heather. That's nice. Aww, isn't that
that's
nice?
The greatest, yeah, that's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, I saved
that makes my week.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm hanging up on you now. All right, bye, Daryl. Don't want to have him feel too good. Nice. All right, well, we'll call that the end of a fine show. If you want to hear Tom and Tech Time, and listen to yesterday's Daily Tech News show. We had a fine time on there.
If you imagine me talking during that thing, then it's almost like he's here for TMS.
It's as if he never left.
Right.
And then there's something else I'm going to say about something that's happening tonight. Maybe it's not important, so never mind. Forget about that. Forget I said anything.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get the hell out of here. I want to thank everybody who participated in today's show. Participated. That's right. You heard me. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com on the website. You can find us at frogpants.com/TMS on Twitter. Follow Brian at Coverville. Follow me at Scott Johnson. And follow the show at Morning Stream. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Music? What do you say, man?
I say I've got some for you if you want it. I mean, I don't know if you're if you think you can handle it, especially after that awesome community song earlier.
Oh, Lord.
Greetings, Mario and Luigi. I have a special song request for my sister-in-law as she's flying from Montana to come see my wife and I in sunny Southern California. My wife rarely gets to see her sister and her nieces because of the distance, obviously, and they're very excited for this trip. I turn them all on to podcast and particularly this TMS, weirdly phrased, and she has downloaded several of them to listen to on the trip down. So my request is the cover of John Denver's Leaving on a Jet Plane by Slightly Stupid on or before their flight on April 30th. Show the love, bro, Kevin Huckins.
Aww.
So very good. Yes. And I have that exact song. Actually, the original version of that song, no, I take that. Well, I'm trying to remember if it was the other way around. Peter, Paul, and Mary did it first, and John, because I know John Denver wrote it.
I'm trying to think who I've heard do it.
Yeah, well, you've probably heard both of them do it because both of them had a had a hit with it. But I'm trying to remember who did it first. So who technically? I have to look this up because now I'm curious. We've got the time.
Man, we're fine. Go for it. Look it up.
Written by John Denver, most famously recorded by Peter, Paul, and Mary.
It's Brian looking up things.
Thanks.
What'd you find?
Wow, jeez.
Yeah.
Actually, John Denver did record the original version in 1966, but Peter, Paul, and Mary were so impressed with the song, they chose to record it themselves and released it on the album the next year.
Nice.
So,
all right.
Very good. All right. So Slightly Stupid. This is from the album Everything You Need. It's kind of a, I don't know. What would you call this music? Kind of a Red Hot Chili Peppers rock.
Oh.
Reggae fusion-y kind of thing.
You had me with all that. That sounds good.
Yeah. You should enjoy this. Slightly Stupid from the album Everything You Need. I think it was a live album judging by this song. Leaving on a Jet Plane.
All righty. Here it is. We'll be back tomorrow with Therapy Thursday, I think. I got to confirm with Wendy, but I think she's on. And, you know, more stuff. So thanks you guys for being here. We'll have another TMS PM this week as well. We'll get to all that tomorrow. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you then.
Jet plane, don't know if I'll be back again. But I wanna be back to go. But I wanna really wanna be back. But I am leaving on a jet plane. Don't know if I'll be back again. But I wanna be back to go. But I wanna really wanna see that all my friends are dancing. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside the door. I need to wake you up to say goodbye.
But I want a cool lovely one, said I. But I want a remember the Richie man, said I. So good, it's like you're there.
The murderer is a cat.